podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
Matthew, the 26th chapter, gives an account of the last week of Christ's life before the crucifixion. It gives examples of a variety of people and how they viewed Christ and his place in the kingdom. I would like to look at two specifically. Verses 7, that while at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came up to Jesus with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured upon his head as he was reclining at the table. Then later, at the Last Supper, in verse 25, Jesus tells his disciples that he will be betrayed by somebody who is present at the table. Judas, the one who would betray him, responds, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." These two pictures display opposite views of a relationship with Christ, one of denial and greed, and one of gratefulness and generosity, one the face of a traitor, the other the face of a believer. The difference in attitudes here are striking. The attitude that one holds in regards to the gift of Christ's death has a direct effect on our actions. One turns his back on what Christ was doing. One was humbly honored it. As we come to the communion table, we are questioning, where is our heart? Where have our actions and our thoughts taken us this week, and where do we go from here? What is your choice? Far from Christ? Far from his love? Or towards Christ with forgiveness and redemption that brings? Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this table and what it represents with the blood and body of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for us. Father, we do seek your forgiveness. We do ask, Father, that you would strengthen us, and we do pray, Father, that you would be with us. Father, just be with each and every one as we take the bread and the cup. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Today is National Back to Church Day, and we've invited many people to come and join us. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we want to just say welcome to you. Glad you're here with us. We hope you enjoy the service, and it's a blessing to you. We also would like you to fill out a view from the pew card. You'll find those in the pews in front of you. If you'd fill one of these out, we'd really appreciate that. If you have any questions about the church, any concerns, anything at all, you can let us know. When you leave, just leave this on your pew. Today, I'm beginning a new 3-week sermon series, which we're going to take from a very familiar passage in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. Now, I think most of the time when we think of the 23rd Psalm, and we quote the 23rd Psalm, we quote from the King James Version. That's what most of us grew up familiar with. We like it. It's kind of eloquent. But for this sermon series, I'm not going to use that version of the 23rd Psalm. We're going to use the New King James Version, which is very similar to the King James Version. And I think you'll like it. But instead of the words thee and thou, you know, we have the words you and your. Instead of maketh and restoreth, we have the words restore and makes. So the New King James just kind of updates the language, but it still keeps what I think is the beauty of the psalm. So what I want to do is begin by reading the psalm together. I'll have it on the screen here, and I know many of you know it by heart, but don't just quote it by heart, because you probably have the King James Version, and we're going to use the New King James Version, so kind of read it with me as we say it together. So would you say it with me? Let's start. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that's a very familiar passage. And sometimes you think, oh, it's so familiar. What new things can you share from that passage? But I think we can gain some new insights as we look at this passage over the next 3 weeks. I've entitled the sermon this morning, Life is Tough. Now, you know that to be true, don't you? Life is tough. It's an old story. Maybe you've heard it. There's a little guy sitting at a bar, just kind of nursing a drink, when a big burly fellow comes up to this little fella and he takes his drink and he just drinks it. And the little guy just begins to cry. I mean, he just breaks down. And the big burly guy says, oh man, I was just kidding. I'll buy you another drink. In fact, I'll buy you lunch. And the little guy says, no, no, that's not it. I've just had a horrible day. I overslept this morning and I went into work late and I had a meeting with my boss and he fired me on the spot. And then I went to the parking lot to get in my car and my car was gone. Someone stole my car. I talked to the police. They said they'll probably find it, but it will be in pieces. I took a cab home. I paid the cab driver. I left my wallet in the cab. So I went in the house to tell my wife, I'm having this horrible day. And I found a note on the refrigerator. My wife ran away with the exterminator. Can you imagine that? With the exterminator. So I left home and came here to this bar. And I was just sitting here thinking about putting an end to my life. Then you come in and drink my poison. Life is tough, you know. Even for followers of God. I'm perplexed at times to hear Christians and preachers who talk like life isn't supposed to be tough for Christians. That's just not the case. You know from experience that both Christians and non-Christians face tough times. In fact, this morning we could bring up here in front from the group of people we have here, just from this group of people, we could bring person after person after person up who could tell us of things that happened in their lives that would just make us sob. I know that to be true as a preacher, and you know that to be true also. There are people here who have just faced the toughest situations in life. Life is tough, whether you're a Christian or not. We know that from experience. We also know that because that's what the Bible teaches. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So the 23rd Psalm makes it clear that life can be tough, even for God's sheep, even for people who follow God. This psalm talks about a valley. You know, you listen to some preachers on the radio or television, and you'd think that for Christians, the Christian life ought to be just one mountaintop experience after another. But this passage talks about the valley. And it's the valley of valleys, the valley of death. The psalm also talks about evil and fear and our enemies. These are words that remind us that life is tough, even for Christians. But this sermon isn't just about the fact that life is tough. The sermon title today is Life is Tough, But We Have a God Who Cares. Say that with me. Life is tough, but we have a God who cares. Next week, we're going to talk about the fact that life is tough, but we have a God who guides. And the week after that, life is tough, but the best is yet to come. We're going to talk about being in God's house for eternity. We as Christians are fortunate because we can talk about the fact that life is tough, but we also know there's something else that we need to consider here. We are not out of God's care, even though life is tough. The Bible reminds us of that. Romans chapter 8 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We as Christians have this promise. Tough times don't separate us from God. God doesn't leave us in tough times. He helps us through tough times. He walks with us through the valley. Now, folks, please understand, that's not a promise made to non-Christians. God may help non-Christians, and he does. There's no doubt about that many times. But he doesn't make the promise to non-Christians. He makes this promise to his sheep, his people. He will care for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep. Now, I want you to think with me this morning about a number of things this short psalm reminds us as far as how God takes care of us. First of all, the psalm reminds us that he is able to take care of us. That's important, isn't it? The psalm begins with, "The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, the all-wise, the always present God. He's the one who's my shepherd. The Lord is powerful." I like how S.D. Lockeridge put it when he described the power of God. This old preacher just had a way with words. And listen to how he describes God's power here. He says, it's his power in creation. God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere. And on the platform of nothing, he spoke the world into existence. The reason God came from nowhere is because there wasn't anywhere for him to come from. And coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And the reason he stood on nothing was because there was nothing on which to stand. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there was nowhere and caught something where there was nothing to catch, and hung something on nothing and told it to stay there. Then standing on nothing, he took the hammer of his will and he struck the anvil of his omnipotence, and sparks flew everywhere. He caught those sparks on the tips of his fingers and flung them into space and bedecked the heavens with stars. And nobody said a word. The reason nobody said a word was because there wasn't anybody there to say anything. So God himself said, "That was good." You see, my Lord, my shepherd, is able to care for me. He has the might, the power to do it. He has the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. My Lord is able to care for me. There's nothing that can happen in my life that God cannot handle. Life is tough, but we have a God who cares. So he also provides for us. The passage says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice, "I shall not want." The NIV puts it this way, "I shall not be in want." The New Living Translation puts it this way, "I have everything I need." "I shall not want" means that God, that if we follow God, he will provide our needs. And folks, that is a lesson that is taught throughout the scriptures. Probably the most familiar passage concerning this is found in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is speaking. He tells this account. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and the heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So God provides. "I shall not want." J. Wilbur Chapman kind of rewrote the 23rd Psalm to point out how God takes care of our wants, our needs. Listen to how he said this. He said, "I shall not want rest. He makes my soul lie down in green pastures. I shall not want drink. He leads me beside still waters. I shall not want forgiveness. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want guidance. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I shall not want companionship. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. I shall not want comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I shall not want food. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I shall not want joy. You anoint my head with oil. I shall not want anything in life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not want anything in eternity, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If God is my shepherd, if I follow him, if I seek him, if I obey him, I shall not be in want." That is a promise. The psalm also says, "My cup runs over." In other words, God's blessings are many. Yeah, all of us. We tend to focus on the negative. And we remember the bad things that happen to us more often than the good things that happen day in and day out. So the psalm reminds us over and over again to remember God's benefits. When you go home today, think a little bit about how your cup runs over. Next, we see that God cares for us in that he is with us. David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Life is tough, but we don't have to face it alone. God is with us. That's interesting here. There's a change of pronouns used by David in verse 4 here. In verses 1 through 3, David talks about the shepherd. He makes me. He leads me. He restores. But you get to verse 4, and he's no longer talking about the shepherd. Now he's talking to the shepherd. "For you are with me." It seems that the valley has brought David closer to the shepherd and the shepherd closer to David. And that's how it works, isn't it? It's when we go through the valley, when we go through tough times, that we learn how important and needed our Lord's presence is. When we are out in green pastures, we talk about him. When we are by still waters, we praise him. But it's in the valley that we find ourselves drawing close to him and experience his presence. God promises us. It's found in Hebrews 13:5. He says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Life is tough, but we have a God who cares. And we see that in the fact that he protects us. The 23rd Psalm says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." When you think of the shepherd, you think of his rod and staff, two different sticks that the shepherd carried. Now, the rod was there to protect the sheep. If an animal came, he would poke the animal with it. He would beat the animal with it to send it away. The staff could be used a little bit like the rod, but the staff had a curl on the end. And if a sheep fell off a cliff, for instance, or fell down, he could use that to help pick the sheep up. Now, what does the psalmist mean when he says, "by preparing a table in the presence of my enemies"? Well, the shepherd would go ahead of the sheep into the field, and he would remove thorns, poisonous bushes, anything that would scare the animals or might hurt the animals, so the sheep could eat safely. So in this way, the shepherd protected his sheep. And David said, God does that for us. And he does, doesn't he? He doesn't promise we won't have trouble. In fact, he points out that life is tough. But he is there to help us and protect us. Now, how does he do that? Well, he does it in a number of different ways. The shepherd used his voice to protect the sheep, to call the sheep, to direct the sheep in the right direction, to keep them from going somewhere or doing something that might hurt them. Of course, God does that for us too through his word today. We're going to talk more about that next week, how he guides us through his word. But through his word, he does guide us. If we are his sheep and we listen to the shepherd, it'll keep us out of a lot of danger. If we do not listen to God, it puts us in danger. If we ignore God's word or disobey God's word, we leave his protection. The shepherd also kept the sheep together, and the reason he kept the sheep together was to keep them safe. When a sheep went off on its own, it was in danger. Now, God loves us so much that Jesus told how the good shepherd would leave 99 sheep in the sheepfold, and he'd go out and hunt for that one who was lost. God cares for us. That's why he gave us a church family, to help us grow and to protect us. And when we wonder, God gives us church family members to encourage us, elders and preachers and others. Encourage us to get back in the fold. If we will not listen, if we are moving away from God's protection, God will not force us to stay. Sometimes God protects us through angels. Psalm 91, verse 11 says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." There are many times in the Old Testament, New Testament, we see God using angels to protect his people. I think angels protect us, are involved in our lives a whole lot more than we know, because they're working behind the scene. That's a whole sermon in itself. But God does protect us many different ways. And God so wants to protect us from eternal death, he wants to protect us from hell, that he gave his one and only son that we might have eternal life. John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep." How could anyone ever say, God doesn't care, when our good shepherd died for us, that we might live for eternity? Life is tough, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't care. Just the opposite. Because life is tough, God is there to help us. Listen, this is a wonderful passage of scripture, and I hear it quoted often from all kinds of people. But I'm going to remind you again, I said it earlier, I'm going to remind you again, this promise is made to Christians. The promise of God's care, being with us, his protection and providing all this, this promise, these promises are for Christians. If your neighbor buys a lawnmower and it's brand new and he gets a 3-year warranty on it, and you have a lawnmower that's 14 years old, and the week your neighbor buys this new lawnmower and gets a warranty, your mower breaks down. So you put your mower in the back of your truck and you go to the store and say, "Hey, I want you to replace this for me." "Well, we can't do that." "Oh, yes, you can. My neighbor has a 3-year warranty. I want you to replace this for me." Doesn't work that way, does it? The warranty's for your neighbor, not for you. We have a God who is powerful, and he promises to provide and to be present with us and to protect his sheep. And like I said, everyone loves to quote this psalm and memorize this psalm. But this promise, these promises are for God's people, for his sheep. So the question this morning is, are you one of his sheep? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? God wants you to say that. He wants you to be part of his fold. So if you are, that's wonderful. And isn't it wonderful to know that as you face difficulties, you have this God who cares and is going to help you? Ultimately, as we talk in the last sermon, ultimately he takes us home to be with him. If you're here this morning as a Christian, you have those promises. You can hold on to those promises. They are sure promises. If you're not a Christian, if you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, the Bible makes it very clear that God wants us to do that, and he makes it easy. All you need to do is have faith that leads you to confess Christ, to turn from your sins and strive to follow him, and then to be baptized into Christ. Every Sunday we give an invitation to him. And if you need to make that decision to become a Christian, as we sing this song, if you come forward, I'll take your confession. And today, right now, we can baptize you into Christ. You can become part of his fold. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.